just take a moment to pray again. Father, we give thanks for the opportunity that we have tonight to share the good news of salvation and just ask humbly for help to present it clearly and in a way that would touch the heart of someone that might be looking for salvation, to know peace and to know that they can know for sure that they will be in heaven one day. Father, just ask for your help tonight and thank you for your love and for the Lord Jesus. And pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Typically, we don't do three speakers. And I was sitting down there going through some thoughts, kind of a last-minute thing for me to be up here, which is fine. Trying to think of, I have an idea of what to speak on, but trying to think of something. I thought about telling my testimony. Dean told his, and then Luke gave out a hymn, and it reminded me of my testimony as well. But what's kind of on my heart is an old, what Shakespeare said, what is in a name? Each of us have a name here. A couple of you, I don't know your name. But if you heard my name, if somebody said Ian, you would think of something right away. Personally, you probably would think, I think you'd probably think of someone who is maybe bold, straight to the point, tends to be impatient. Maybe not. When I hear Bennett, I think dirt bikes, brother-in-law, just a pretty easygoing person. When I hear the name Lydia, I think of my wife. She is my wife. She is the person I love the most. Names are important. And I was thinking, God knows me by name. God knows you by name. I was actually looking before I got up here, I was sitting down there in Jeremiah. It says, God knew you when you were in the womb. So that's before you even had a name. God knew you. And even still in the Bible, it says he can count the hairs on your head. I don't know if you've ever heard the gospel before. The gospel is the good news of salvation. And that's what Dean and Luke have presented tonight. But I want to let you know tonight that God loves you and knows you even before you had a name. Names are important. Names identify. In the Bible, it talks about this book. In Revelation chapter 20, at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, there's a couple verses I'd like to read. Revelation 20, and we'll start at verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great. Revelation, this is talking about a time after the Lord Jesus has come back. There's a time when he comes back to earth and he takes up to heaven those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that have believed, simply said, you know what? The Lord Jesus died for me at Calvary. I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone is wicked. But Jesus paid for your sin. There's a time coming when he will come back and he's taking those of us that have accepted his death at Calvary as payment for our sins. He's coming back and will take us home. And after that, there's a time called the Great Tribulation. And if you look out and say, oh, the world's getting pretty bad, there's a time coming, and I'm not, Dale said about hellfire and brimstone before we got here. I didn't even think about talking about this, but we're going kind of that direction. There's a time coming for 7 years where it will be like nothing this world has ever seen. The world wars won't even compare. The leaders of this world will submit to such an evil power, and then it will be all run by Satan. But after that, there's a time coming when we will all stand. Those of us that are saved will stand before a different throne, but those that have not accepted Christ will stand before this, the great white throne judgment. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book, this is the one I want you to pay attention to, was open, which is the book of life. also called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Just to note, that verse right there is proving that you cannot hide from God. There's people that have been cremated, reduced down to ashes, and spread into the ocean. If you were to say, go find them, you will never be able to do that. But the power of God will be able to take them and bring them back. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When I was 18 or 17, I think it was 17, I was, I don't like saying troubled about my soul, but I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know for sure that I was going to heaven. I know we say I wanted to be saved, but I wonder how much people understand that. For those of us that grew up in a church, it's like, oh yeah, I know what salvation is. But I wanted to be sure that no matter what, I was going to heaven when I died. If I died or when the Lord returned. I wanted to know for sure. One night, I'm not going to give you my whole testimony, but the way I got saved, or how I realized, or however you want to put it, I was laying in my bed, and John 3 came to mind. I was laying there confused. I said, Lord, God, just show me. Like, I don't get this. I had been raised in a Christian home my whole life. I grew up going to Sunday school, went to so many gospel meetings and like so many of these meetings, and just wanted to be out of there. I would much rather be playing in the grass outside in the summertime, and here we are sitting in a hot tent. I don't want to be there. My whole life I grew up, I knew the gospel. I knew the verse that I think Dean read tonight, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If he even said John 3:16, oh, well, I could read that off. I knew all this. And yet I still couldn't figure it out. And if you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, what are they talking about? It's not a bad thing to question God. God created you. You cannot intimidate him. If you have questions, ask him. And honestly, that goes for those of us that are saved. I've learned that in my life. And if you think I'm wrong, please tell me. Probably going to disagree with you. But God wants a relationship with you, whether you're saved or not. And I was there laying in my bed. I was just like, it was just in the middle of the week. God, show me. And I grabbed my Bible and flipped it over. I didn't even look for a place. I just grabbed my Bible. It was on my bedside stand, grabbed it, opened it up. My eyes went to the end of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Luke gave out that hymn that we sang, the chorus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's not just man-made. That's not a chorus that a man wrote down. This is God's word. I read that, and he that believeth. All God wants me to do is to believe for the fact that Jesus died for me. I looked at that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I thought, okay, that's God's requirement. So God is telling me all I need to do is believe. To say, you know what? Okay, Jesus died on the cross. He said it was for my sins. Okay? If that's what God is saying, then that's truth. So the only thing that's getting me to heaven is what God promised here. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The Son, if you don't know who that is, that's Jesus Christ. I'm quite sure everyone here knows what Christmas is all about. I know we all like to have presents and gifts and give gifts maybe. I think as you get older, you enjoy socks and food a lot more than you did when you were 5. But Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, never did any wrong, none whatsoever. He was completely sinless and spotless, the Holy Son of God. And you know how the world treated him? He did miracles. He healed so many people. You can think, one comes to mind. He was walking through this crowd and this lady, she just come up and touched the hem of his garment, it says, his robe. And she had a blood disease, instantly healed. And he said, "Who touched me?" She said, and goes on, but she was healed. There's another man, he was blind. He could see. Another man couldn't walk, made him to walk. All these things. He cast demons out of a man. All these many miracles. And you know what they did at the end? They spat in his face. You ever had someone talk to you and accidentally a little bit of spit comes out? It's like, oh man, like that's gross. But you move on. But could you imagine someone just like taking it as much as they can with anger in their face and poof, right in the Son of God's face? And he had a beard, probably a lot longer than mine, but they would take that and rip it off his face. Another person punched him. "Tell me, who hit you?" the Bible says. These are real things that happened to the Son of God. And then the Romans would take him with a whip. Talk about Christmas. I wanted a whip one year for Christmas. A 14-foot bull whip. And I up and cracked that thing and it hit me in the back of the leg. Ow. That's one 14-foot whip. You know what the Romans used? It's called cat of nine tails. Wouldn't be a very long whip. I'm guessing maybe 6 feet long. And at the end of it, they would put bone and metal and shards of sharp things, maybe rocks. And they'd take that and set it in the back. And then pull. And it'd just be like, they call it a cat of nine tails because you just grab and rip. The Bible says the Lord's back was like a plowed field. You can look out here. I drove by a field the other day. It was a nice green field and the tractor was going through, laying over the sod. Looked actually kind of cool. You could just see that it rolling over, looked real neat. But that's what it says the Lord Jesus' back looked like. And they take a crown of thorns. I know we have thorns here and I wish I had one. But if you look at the Roman thorns, they're like 3 inches long and they're hard. And they made a crown of that, put it on his head, and they took a reed and beat him on the head and buried it right into his skull. Now I want you to picture this. I feel like I have a pretty good imagination, but I was thinking about this the other day. I want you to picture someone who's been punched. Not once, but many times. We've all seen the fights, the UFC fights, where you could see swollen eyes, big fat lip, blood. And then I want you to add a beard ripped from his face and spit running down. And then the blood that would be trickling around all his whole head. And then they made him carry a cross outside the city, would lay that down, and he would willingly, this whole time there was no fight, he would willingly lay down on that cross and they would take big metal spikes right through his hands, right through his feet. And then would raise him up as a spectacle before everybody and they would mock him. And you know what he would say? This is the same God who knew them all by name. You know what he would say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I could tell you right now, if that was me in that place, I would do everything in my power to kill those people because I'm wicked. There is no way I would let someone spit in my face, let alone punch me, rip a beard from my face, mock me, whip me. I would not have love for those people. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is amazing love. The Bible says, I can't remember. There's no love greater than a man who lay down his life for a friend. That's not the right words, but Jesus didn't die for just one person. He died 2,000 some odd years ago, and anybody that accepts the fact that he died for your sins can be saved. There's many of us here tonight that have accepted that, that have seen that work at Calvary, that awful work. And I can tell you for sure, I would have been there. I'm someone that follows crowds. Sometimes people think I'm a leader, and yes, sometimes I am. But if there's enough people doing one thing, I'm right there with them. More than likely, I would have been there being like, ha ha. Yeah, hit him again. I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. I would have been the one there that Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you were there, you would too. Maybe you wouldn't have hit him, but you would have been the one that he was saying, forgive them. And he's saying that tonight. Maybe not verbally, but through the scriptures. He's telling you, I love you. All those years ago, I gave myself for you on Calvary. I know you by name. He does. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. There's some people that say, you know what? I don't believe it. I want my own truth. Regardless, facts are facts. If you told me 1 + 1 = 3, you're wrong. I don't care how much you believe it. The fact is still 1 + 1 = 2. And whether you believe in God tonight or not, he believes in you. And the fact is he loves you. That's the truth of the matter. I'm saved tonight. I'm not going to say that word anymore. I'm going to heaven tonight without a shadow of a doubt because Jesus died for me. He died for you. He knows you by name. He knows exactly who you are. He knows your faults. He knows what you like, what you don't like, the things that you've done wrong. He knows everything that you've done wrong. He knows everything that I've done wrong and continue to do wrong, and yet he still loves me. He loves you tonight. Some people say, nobody loves me or I just want to be accepted. That is such a sad thing. People are looking for acceptance tonight. They're looking to be accepted in their sexuality, in the way they want to live. There's God saying, I love you just the way you are. Come to me. I want to save you. So tonight, I just want to reiterate, Jesus knows you by name. 2,000 years ago, he knew you by name. You think, how's that possible? Because he's God. He's omnipresent. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he knew you when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So tonight, I encourage you, have a conversation with God, whether you have it in your mind, out loud, whatever. God can hear your thoughts. God can hear you out loud. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he proved that by sending his son. He loves you. That's all I have. We're going to be out early. I don't have anything else to say, but I just want to... I totally went off course, but you know what? That's all right. God loves you. He knows you. We'll just pray. Father, thank you for your love, that you know us by name. So much so, down to the most minute detail. Before we even had a heartbeat, you knew us. That's such an amazing fact. And just thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus, that he would willingly go to Calvary and experience all that hatred and wickedness, and yet would still say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He would love them, and he loves us. Just pray for the souls that aren't saved tonight, that don't know for sure that they're going to heaven. Pray that they would seek after you, would realize that Jesus died for me, and that's all that is required to get into heaven. Father, we thank you and just ask your blessing on the evening. In our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.